ask you if you wouldn't mind standing in reverence to the Word of God. We're coming this morning from John chapter 20. Beginning at verse 19 and concluding at verse 31. Amen. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The word of the Lord is blessed. You may have a seat in the presence of the Lord. We just heard the song, What a Mighty God We Serve. And the songwriter says, he's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah Shalom. And we heard the song, but when it's our time to experience things, all of that kind of goes out the door. And this passage of scripture is usually preached during, you know, Resurrection Week and the Passion Week and all that, you know. But the Lord has really been laying it on my heart, and I've been listening to the messages that have been going forward, and how many of us believe that God has taken this church somewhere?
My God. My God.
So in order to go where God wants us to go in the spirit realm, we need to grow up in some areas. And so the theme that the God has given me for this message is, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Belief means that we place one's trust in God's truth. One who takes God at his word and trusts him for salvation. This type of belief saves and rests in the finished work of Christ. It trusts God alone for salvation. And most of you know that I just finished school, and during my course of studies, one of the theorists that we talked about was a person by the name of Eric Erickson. And let me give you my 3 points. I'm sorry. Let me back up for a minute. My 3 points for the message today are trust versus mistrust. That's point number one, trust versus mistrust. Number two is isolation and intimacy. And number three is maturity. Trust versus mistrust, isolation and intimacy, and maturity. And let me pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. You alone are worthy to be praised. And God, you get the glory out of this preach word. I pray, God, that you will decrease me, increase you, God. Glorify yourself here on earth through the preach word according to your will and your way. Help us to grow up in you. Help us, God, to stop doubting and believe you and take you at your word. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. So, as I said, Eric Erickson was a famous theorist, and he developed these 8 stages of human development. And the first stage of his theory begins at infancy, and it's called trust versus mistrust. And he believed that our relationships with our parents are established during the first 2 years of our lives. And he said that if our parents cared for us sufficiently and our needs were met in the earlier stages of our lives, then we built up a sense of trust in our parents. And so it's within this stage something develops in us called object permanence. And this means that as children, we now have the ability to know that if our mom or dad leaves the room, we know that they're going to come back if they said they were going to come back. Well, so in our Christian walk, we as disciples have to develop this kind of relationship to better understand our Lord and our Savior. We have to come to the understanding that our Father will do exactly what he promised. Amen. He would do.
Amen.
And so he told the disciples that he was going to go away, but he was also going to come back.
Well,
but they couldn't seem to comprehend what he was saying. And we've heard this before, that they heard what Jesus said, but were they really listening to what he said? And how many of us have the ability to hear, but we don't really listen to what the Lord is saying to us? And the Bible says in John 20:19-20, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Peace in the Greek means quietness. He was trying to tell the disciples to quiet yourself down. He wanted them to think in the spirit realm. But they were so focused on being fearful of the Jews, their minds weren't focused on the spirit. And so the scripture says that they were not glad until they saw proof.
Well,
so
Now, these disciples are the very people that were with Jesus. They saw Jesus perform miracles in the earth. They knew that whatever he said, he was good for. But when rubber met the road, they forgot what the word of our Lord and Savior was. They just, you know, they became, I guess their minds became clouded with spiritual amnesia. And aren't we like that? Aren't we disciples? And when Jesus Christ tells us something, when he makes promises to us, we become fearful because we don't see the evidence. But see, we need to be glad because we come in the spirit realm. We have anticipation. We should come with a spirit of expectation because Jesus said it and that settles it. The evidence has already been pointed out to us, but we want him to, you know, be resurrected again. And there is no, I mean, he's already completed the work. The work has already been finished. And we have to take him at his word. We can't keep, let me break it down to you if I can. When we were little kids, our parents started calling us by our name. Am I correct? Now, every time my mother called me Robin, I did not ask her to show me my birth certificate. This is me, Robin, talking. I didn't ask her to prove, I didn't ask her to go down to her doctor's office to get a blood test to make her prove that she was my mother. I took her at her word. And so if our earthly parents can tell us something and we take them at their word, can't we take our Heavenly Father at his word? He's good for his promises. And what I found out in the word of God is that God continuously proves himself to us because he knows how we are. The proof is in the pudding. One day we're saying, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And then the next day we're saying, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. That's how we are. We are roller coaster Christians. And God is saying, peace. I got this. Quiet yourself down and get in the spirit so I can do some things in you. And see, as I said, we're in the inner circle. We're the disciples here on earth. And the world is looking at us. And if we're all, if we're out of kilter, if our minds are being blown because we can't handle what we see down here on earth, how do we expect the unbelievers to come in? The world says that they were fearful because of the Jews. Our situations don't mean a hill of beans to the Father. What does matter is how we handle our situation. And God is looking for us, the disciples, to step up to the plate. He's saying, I want you to stop doubting and believe. And I remember a time when Teresa was a little girl. And we had gone grocery shopping one day, and we all got out of the car, and we were unpacking our groceries. And so we put Teresa in the house first because we didn't want her to get away from us. So we put her in the house first, and it was, you know, know, light outside, but it was, you know, kind of gray because the shades were drawn in the house. So she thought she was playing a joke on us, and she slammed the door. And she said, aha, you can't get in. And we said, aha, you stuck in the house. And so the keys were in the house. The house was locked up. And she was fearful. And so we were trying to calm her down. I think she had to have been about 2 years old. And she was like, Mommy, get me out of here. Mommy. And so we're trying to quiet her spirit down. We're trying to talk to her. And we're telling her, Teresa, give us the keys. Pull the keys out the door. Pass them to Mommy. I can't, Mommy. I'm so scared. Mommy. So she was shut in. And she was fearful because of her situation. And so my husband, being who he is, that was Daddy's baby girl. So Daddy was going to do what Daddy needs to do to come to the rescue of his baby girl. And I'm here to tell you today that we are all baby girls and baby boys in the eyes of the Father. And I don't care what situation you have in your life, God is going to come to your rescue. That locked door doesn't mean a thing to God. And what I like about God is that he will step into place. The scripture says they didn't even imagine that God would come through that shut door. They couldn't even fathom in their mind how they were going to be rescued. How were they going to be delivered? But in the midst of that locked door, he steps into their situation. So I'm here to tell you today, no matter what you're going through, God will step into your situation and he will speak peace to your very soul. That's the kind of God we serve. The disciples, as I said, they were restless because they couldn't see their way out. And they were waiting for proof that God would do what he said he would do. And for us today, God is saying, again, settle down and get your mind focused on Christ. And when we begin to focus our minds on Christ, there is no limit to what the Master can do. A couple of weeks ago, I don't know where I was, and we were in service, and somebody came to me later and said, did you hear about that story that Josh was telling people about his dad? Josh was telling his dad, and I think co-pastor found out, and Sister Pam found out. Like, Josh was walking around here telling this wild story that his dad got hurt and had people believing, praying for his father. But his mind, as a child, his imagination is active. And God is saying to us, I want you to have a childlike mentality. Whatever I tell you, I want you to believe it. And so, and not only do I want you to believe it, but I want you to go out and tell other people. And that's what the disciples started to do when Jesus came into their presence. They, Thomas wasn't with them. So they went out, they told Thomas what they had experienced. And that's how we have to be, because the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. Some of us are weak in our belief. But those of us who are not weak, we need to go to our brothers word that God has promised us shall come to pass.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the text, we also see that Jesus had been crucified and the heat was on. And so, again, they forgot what he was saying. And God, this was another way that Jesus was trying to develop an intimate relationship with his disciples. Three times in this passage, he said, "Peace be unto you." And how many of us know that God, through Jesus, this was awesome, has assigned himself the task of carrying his children's burdens?
My God.
And not only does he carry our burdens, but he offers peace to our hurting heart. The God who walks with us is not limited. Did you hear me? He is not limited by anything. So we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be knocked off of our squares by what's going on in the earth. Because this is really not our home. So when we become so attached to the world, we lose sight of what God is trying to do to us in the kingdom experience. We can't fully be invested in the kingdom when we're so attached to the things of the world. See, what goes down on down here on earth is God's business. I'm going to say that again. What goes on down here is God's business. We as disciples have been planted on this earth to bring heaven down to earth. And we cannot bring heaven down to earth if we are behaving like the earth. The scripture says, perfect love casteth out fear. So, if we are perfected in the love of Christ, then why are we fearful? We have no reason to fear. Because the finished work of Christ on the cross canceled all fear. It canceled all doubt. It canceled all reservations. And so we don't walk in the abundance of life because we don't have an intimate relationship with the Savior. We're isolated, not intimate. And he's calling us to intimacy. He's calling us. He's drawing us to be intimate with him. But because of our fear, we are isolated from him. And as we mature, the world says seeing is believing. That's what the world says. But in the spiritual realm, believing is seeing. Because when we believe, again, there are no limits, no boundaries to what God can do through us. Ain't that all right? Think about that. Before I started school, they have this big parade at Penn. And about 2 years before I started school, I was on the walk looking at the people come down as, you know, processing in the graduation. And I started bawling. I was weeping out there on the walk. And, like, my coworkers were like, oh, my God, what's wrong, what's wrong? And they thought I was weeping because I saw some of our students graduating. But I was weeping because God was showing me in the spirit realm what he was going to take me to. And I was on the watch out. Oh, my God, my soul does magnify the Lord. I was rejoicing, but they couldn't understand what God was doing to me and going to do through me. I was rejoicing.
Well.
And see, isn't it Vicky Wine to say, get glad about it? What's that song? I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. Guess what? We can be glad about the expectation of the Lord. Because where we are now is not where we're going to remain. God has a plan for this church. God is releasing spiritual gifts in this church. But see, we have to believe God. We can't doubt the promises of God, and we have to be able to go forth when God is saying, go forth. Miracles, signs, and wonders are right here. We've already witnessed some miracles, signs, and wonders. And there is greater coming. We've been shaken. We've been pressed. And out of that is going to be a blessing. See, God doesn't allow us to go through things not to make it good. So when you feel like you're pressed down, when you feel fearful, when you feel like you're going to die, when you feel like you're not going to make it, that's a good thing. Because that means that God is behind the scenes working. And he's saying, peace be unto you. He's saying, in the midst of your storm, I got you. And nothing by any means shall harm you. I don't care what it looks like. That banking account could be on zero. That husband could have walked away 10 years ago. That child could be tricking, snorting, shooting. But God has said peace unto you in the midst of your situation. And when God says, he said that three times. Peace be unto you. And I can just imagine that they were like, oh my God, the Jews. And isn't that how we are? We get upset. We become irrational. And God is saying, get a grip of yourself. It reminded me of Chris Tucker. Can you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Peace be unto you. We hear it. But are we listening? And when we go down to John 20 and 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You see, the disciples were anointed by the Holy Ghost to give them strength for the journey.
Thank you, Lord.
Yesterday, we were, a lot of us were here witnessing Shauna and Steve's wedding. And I always listen intently because I like the part that says, by the power invested in me by the state. That's what pastor, you know, typically says, or the officiating minister. But guess what? As disciples, we have power. See, when the Holy, when he breathed on them and they received you the Holy Ghost, that power invested in us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that is what we need for the journey. And see, the disciples, they were dead in their faith. And so they needed the ruach breath of God to breathe on them. And isn't it amazing how God's, just the presence of God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, how it can empower you? And what I like about God is that when the Holy Ghost is released in the atmosphere, those things that were impossible become possible.
Thank you, Lord.
Those impossibilities become God's opportunities so that the world might see him and bring him glory, honor, and praise. I'm going to jump down to verse 31. This is good. This is good stuff. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. A lot of times we don't have life because we are reactionary people. We are reacting to the happenings on earth. But the songwriter said, and I love this song, get your eyes off of what you think you might see. Grab a hold and don't let go. Hold on for life. And then he says, place your feet on a solid foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that with Christ, all things are possible. And without Christ, nothing shall be possible. I'm here to tell you that we better grab a hold of the resurrected Savior. Because I had a teacher when I was in cut. He said, baby, I'm going to show you some things you ain't ever seen. And let me tell you, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to show us some things that we have never in our lives seen. He came to do greater works. He came to empower us to do greater works. And if you grab a hold to the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. See, God is not a man that he's going to lie. So whatever he promised, he is able to perform it. He is a God who loves to bless his children. He loves to show himself off through his people. And if we stop believing, if we stop doubting and believe, there is no limit. We box God in. We go around giving more praise to the devil than we do to our God. And we serve a living God. And he said that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And how many of us are living below abundant life? How many of us are in such a doubtful mindset that we can't see Jesus? We can't see the want to be disciplined. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So why is it that we don't come out to Bible study? Why is it that we don't come to Sunday school? We want to be blessed of God, but we don't want to do what it takes to receive the blessings of God. This is a participatory salvation. And God is saying, I want you to grow up. I want you to believe me like you have never believed. Years ago, or not even years ago, when I'll say it this way. We have more faith in our paychecks than we do in Jesus. How many of us work all week? And I know at the University of Pennsylvania, if you're exempt, you work for a month before you get your paycheck. A month. How many of us, when it's time for our paycheck, do you call your payroll department to see if you have a check? You believe that when you go tap Matt, Matt won't tap you back. You walk up there bold, like, yeah. I got money in there. And that's how we need to approach the throne of grace. Bold, confident, without fear and trembling. Because our daddy is good for his promises. Every time I look at God's resume, it tells me that he's qualified to be my savior. Every time I open Psalm 91, it tells me he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So if we're doing what we're supposed to do, surely he will take care of us. Stop doubting and believe. Standing all over God's house. God is looking for a few good men and women. We are in the army. And God today is saying, I want to arrest that fear and doubt that has been paralyzing you.